So if you have your Bibles tonight, we invite you to turn with us to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. I want to read one verse of Scripture, and I believe the Lord would have us build the thought from here. We will be turning to a number of verses tonight, so have your Bible in hand. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would you help us tonight to preach in power? Lord, I ask that you would empty us of ourselves, cleanse us of all sin, fill us with your spirit. Help us, God, to be faithful to rightly divide the word of truth. Open your word tonight, Father, we ask, and teach us your scriptures, your precepts, Lord, your meditations. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. From this verse, where the scripture says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means completely. And Paul says, I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about this. I can't get away from it. What is man? The Bible says that man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. It's what the Bible says. I just read it to you right there. And they're all different. And so I want to preach a series of messages entitled, What is Man? And tonight I want us to look at the fact that man is a spirit. Man has a spirit tonight. I want us to think about that. Now, four times in the Word of God, there is the question, what is man? You find it in Job chapter 7, verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him? Again in Job 15, verse 14. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Psalm 8, 4, very familiar one here. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Psalm 144, verse 3. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Four times, what is man? Now, modern science cannot correctly answer that question, what is man? But your Bible does. Modern science says that man came from a Big Bang theory, and over the course of millions of years, we evolved from tadpoles and then became monkeys, and our tail fell off, and we stood up and began to walk straight. Nope. Science claims that a baby in a mother's womb is not yet a human being. I don't believe that. Science claims that the greatest danger to mankind is climate change, and you defeat it by quit using your hairspray and don't drive a big SUV. Nope. Science says if you don't like your gender, just pick another one. Nope. Let's use our Bible and find out what is man. I want to turn to Psalm 139, verse 14. And as you're turning, I would remind you that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that Creator God created all things, made all things. In Psalm 139, verse number 14, the sweet psalmist, David, is our writer. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now tonight you may say, well, Preacher Darren, I don't feel good. I've got cancer. I've been in a wreck. I've got problems. I've got a lot of things going on in my life. Honey, I want to remind you of something, that you have been fearfully and wonderfully created by Almighty God. Every single one of you tonight, you're the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Science would tell you that man is nothing more than an animal. I want to tell you something, that man is made in the image of Almighty God. And man is not just a body. Man was designed by God. We are created to worship Him, to fellowship with Him, and to commune with Him. And to me, the very fact that the fingerprint of God is on our lives is very evident. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." Hey, God, it's clear for us to see that God has made all things tonight. Now, creation bears the marks or the hands or the fingerprints of its creator. Let's talk about God for a second. My Bible says that and teaches that God eternally exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you want to get with me tonight, that'd be all right. I'd appreciate it. And we see God the Father and God the Holy Ghost and God the Son at Jesus' baptism. There is Jesus in body walking up out of the water, the Jordan River, where John has just baptized Him. The Bible says the Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. And you can hear the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." If you'd had a video camera, you'd have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in one picture. In fact, we can read about it again. Turn to Matthew, last chapter, chapter 28, the book of Matthew 28. I want to read verse number 19. We're talking about God eternally existing in three persons. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us the Great Commission. He says in Matthew 28, 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Three in one, yet the three are just one. May I read about it one more place in the Pauline epistles in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to look at verse number 14. Last verse of the chapter, last verse of the book. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," that's the Son, "and the love of God," that's the Father, "and the communion of the Holy Ghost," God the Holy Spirit, "be with you all. Amen." There is at least three places I could show you more that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we have a Trinity. And God said He made man in His image, the image of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God created you and I, therefore, to be a tripartite being. Now, this will be controversial to a lot of people. If you get deep in Scripture, they believe that man is nothing more than a dichotomy, that there's only two parts to us: flesh and spirit. But honey, I want to tell you something. According to the Word of God, man is a trichotomy. We are body, soul, and spirit. You may say, "Preacher Darren, this is getting pretty deep." Let's talk about it tonight. You know what you focus on the most of your body, soul, and spirit? You focus on your body. You pay more attention to your body than any other part of your being. It is said that when you were young, you used your body to make money. But when you get old, you use your money to get your body back. Amen. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, I want to look at verse number 26. Matthew 16, verse 26. We focus on our bodies. Listen what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul?" What about that? So the Lord, is not given the emphasis on the body. He's given the emphasis on the soul and of the spirit. Now, when we read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where he said, I pray that God sanctify you wholly, right? He said, I pray that God sanctify your whole body. What is body? The word in the Greek is the Greek word soma. And then he said soul, which is the word psycho. And he said spirit, which is pneuma. But consider the order he put them in. If you want to go back and look at it, do. The order Paul put them in was spirit, soul, and body was last. That was the least important. All three are important, but it was the least important of the three. So the first one he lists is your spirit. You may say, Preacher Darren, I don't understand your point. Oh, it's very indicative that you get this, because as you start thinking about it, it opens up the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 4:12, speaking of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. This has something to say about our Bibles. You know, your Bible was written to us by the gift of the Holy Spirit as he picked up men and used them as his pen. That the Spirit of God used this word to build us and to give us life. Look what he says in Hebrews 4:12. This is deep. For the word of God is quick. What does that mean? That the preacher preaches quick? Well, you know better than that. The word of God is quick means it's alive. Do you know right now you have on your lap, in your hands, the word of God is alive. It's breathed of God. And when God breathes, it's going to live on, amen. It's quick, read on, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, some of us believe that that's the same thing, that soul and spirit is used interchangeably, 50-50, 60-40, and it's the same thing. Honey, I have an announcement. It's not. The Word of God can divide you from your body, from your soul, and from your spirit. Preacher, I don't believe that. What'd the Word say? He can, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it's powerful, it's quick, and it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. What's the joints and marrow? It's your body. So there you are, body, soul, and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. What God say? Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't say worship him in body. He didn't say worship him in soul. Oh, preacher, it's the same thing. No, it's not. You worship him in spirit. Preacher Darren, this is getting deep quick. You see, the soul coincides with God the Father. The spirit coincides with God the Spirit, and the body, because Jesus has one, coincides with God the Son. Now, think with me for just a minute. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit, or the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. In fact, you could, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You could go to chapter 6 and Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? I wish I'd have brought it tonight. It's in my office. I have a model of the temple. It's going to get deep. The temple has an outer court. It has a holy place. And it has a holy of holies. There are three. The outer court represents the body. The holy of holies the holy place represents the soul. And the holy of holies represents the spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a difference then between the holy of holies and the holy place and the outer court. Tonight, if I brought a football, maybe you could see it like, I wish I'd have brought one. and we wouldn't just throw it around when the service is over. But if you had a football, say I was holding one, you would see the leather football, the outside. That's what you see. It represents the body. It has a leather covering. But inside that leather covering is a rubber bladder, if you will. That represents the soul. And inside, listen, without something inside that leather cover and that rubber bladder, the football would be flat. What's in it? Air. And the air represents the Spirit. The Spirit of God, like the wind, pneuma, like the wind as he's moving about. Now, our body, it's going to get deep. Our body is flesh, which means that you are world conscious with your body. It has five senses. Do you know what they are? Sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. Now the body is the home of the soul and the spirit. They live inside you just like the air's inside the rubber bladder, which is inside the leather of the football. And your body came from dust, and when it dies, it returns to dust. Your soul is not world conscious. Your soul is self conscious. It has three senses. It has intellect, it has emotion, and it has will. It is a medium between the spirit and the body. Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Our spirit is God conscious. The spirit is represented by the breath of life. Turn to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis 1. I want to look at verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Still haven't gotten to my first point yet. This is still my introduction. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Who's he talking to? It didn't say God's, G-O-D-S. God, one God said, "Let us, who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Make man in our, who is our? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In our image." Okay? And the Bible says in verse 27, "So God created man in his image." Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. We're building a thought here. I hope we're building it. Chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." There is man with a body. There is man now with a living soul. And the breath of life represents the spirit, because God is a spirit. And he gave him the breath of life. You may say, "Preacher dear, now that seems to me like that is a reach." Well, think with me for a second. John said, chapter 3, verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." When Adam was created, he was created with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit. Ezekiel. Help me, Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 37. I feel it stirring in me now strong. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, verse number, let me find it. Verse number 3. Ezekiel 37, verse number 3. "He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." Where's he at? He's in a valley of dry bones. "Again he said unto me," verse 4, "prophesy upon these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Look with me in verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Breath representing spirit. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hey, what happened? He preached the word of God to a bunch of dead, dry bones, and the word of God being preached, and the Spirit of God began to move and breathe upon them. God gave them life. Adam had a body. It was alive. Adam had a soul. It was alive. Adam had a spirit. It was alive. God don't create anything dead. Now, I want you to think for a second. Here we go. When Satan attacks you, he attacks you from the outside inside, to the inside. That's where he starts. You see, Satan uses the things of the world to appeal to the flesh, to entice the soul to sin, and therefore to destroy the spirit. That's what the devil wants to do. Kill your spirit, then kill your soul, then kill your body. But he starts from the outside in. When I read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 some weeks ago when I was studying, I said, Lord, why? Why didn't you just say body, soul, spirit? Why did you break it down into three different things? Why didn't you say one thing? Why did you put them in the order that you did? The way he put them was spirit, soul, body. But we say body, soul, spirit. We go from the outside in like the devil does. Right? But the Lord starts from the inside. That's what he does. Think about it. When you were a sinner, what did he do? Did he give life to your body? No. He dealt with your spirit. He dealt from the inside out. He illuminated your spirit, your mind, by the word of God, by his spirit, to get you to exercise your will by placing faith in Jesus Christ. And when you place faith in Jesus Christ, he saved your spirit, gave you life, he saved your soul, and now your body needs to be sanctified and set apart. We need to be cleaned up. So now we're ready to preach. At least I think I've laid the groundwork. What is man? Man is a spirit. The spirit is the part of you that can know God. The spirit is the part of you that can worship God. The spirit is the part of you that can commune and fellowship with God. And it's probably the part of you that you think the least about. But it's from your spirit that you worship God. Now, I want to turn to Job. I've specifically left this verse out. But I want to turn to Job chapter 33. I want you to see this. And as you turn, I'm just reminding you that when God created Adam, he formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You may say, now, preacher, Aaron, I just beg to differ with you. I want you to read Job 33:4. This sets it all up. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God hath made me. Did you see that? You got quiet in here. Job, am I in the wrong place? Job 33:4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. God breathed on Adam. God breathed on you and I. He gave us life. Thank God for it. He's a living body. He's a living soul. He's a living spirit. Three things and I'm done. I know I've scared you to death. Number one, I want us to think about a spiritual reality. To Adam, God commanded the man. God said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let's just go back there. Let's go back. Preacher, I've turned so much already. I hope you'll get a good rest tonight. You've worked so hard. Genesis chapter 2, I pointed it out, verse number 16, verse 17. Look at chapter 5. What happened when Adam sinned? I believe, according to the word of God, the very moment Adam sinned, he died. His spirit, the breath God gave him, his spirit died. He's still alive with his body, but inside he died. In Genesis chapter number 5 and verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. There's a difference between God creating man in his image and Adam begetting a son in his likeness. What is the likeness of Adam now? He has a living body. He has a living soul. He has a dead spirit. Dead in trespasses and in sins. That's been passed down to each and every one of us. Look at verse number 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. You may say, he didn't die. He had to die 930 years later. Well, first of all, I don't know how old Adam was when he was created. I mean, he wasn't a baby. He didn't have a belly button. Hey, man, what about that? He lived 930 years. He begat a son with a sin nature. Ephesians 2:1, you, told to the church, hath he quickened, made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. What happened? I was lost. I needed to be saved. But when he did save me, woo, he gave my spirit life so I can worship him and fellowship and commune with him. That was non-existent before I met Jesus. It's a spiritual reality. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You had a body. People, look around. People have bodies that are very much alive. But how are they dead in trespasses and sins if their spirit's not dead? It's a spiritual reality. Number two, there came a spiritual revolution. We were dead spiritually. We were devilish in service. We were disobedient to ourselves. We had defiled senses. We had a doomed situation. But the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. While you're, John chapter 6. You got to see this. John chapter 6, verse number 63. Jesus' words. John chapter 6, verse 63. You got to see this. You need to mark this in your Bible. This is important. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does that mean? To make alive. It's the Spirit that causes us to live. The flesh, it's our old body, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Praise God. For a preacher who preached the word of God, he preached the spirit, the breath of Almighty God to me, and I heard the word of God, me dead in trespass and sin, and I heard and I asked him to forgive me and save me, and he saved me. and he gave me life. Not just life here, but life eternally. Yes, woo! By the Spirit of God. Here's a great, great text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Search the scriptures, see if these things are so. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Look with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was, in the past, made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Why did it say it like that? What happened to Adam? He sinned and his spirit died. But Jesus, being the last Adam, amen, he came as a quickening spirit. And when Adam came by the blood to God, God forgave him and gave him life spiritually, his soul and his body. God blessed him. Thank God for it. Amen. Now, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God changes us from the inside out. In 1 Corinthians, you're close, chapter 12. Just turn back. Chapter 2. I want to read verse 12. Chapter 2. Let's read verse 9 too. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? You see, it's by your spirit that you know God. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. What's this? Now, when, present, right now, if you're saved, right now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Look at the word S. It's little s. When it's a big S, it's the Holy Spirit. It's capitalized. It's part of the He's part of the Godhead. But this says, now we've received not the little s spirit of the world, but the little s spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You want to worship God? You're going to get to know him through your little ass spirit that he's saying. But the problem is, you don't spend any time nourishing and taking part of the little ass spirit. You spend all your time taking care of the B-O-D-Y, the body. That's all we focus on. How do I feel? How are you today? That's the first. Hey, I asked you last week, when was the last time we prayed one for another that God might sanctify one another? What about that? Hello? Well, I got to read Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. We'll stay in Colossians just a minute. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives in you. Preacher, I thought I was the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, but you got one member of the Godhead, you got Jesus, the second member of the Godhead, and you got God the Father. You got all three living inside of you. Hey, man. Well, look here while you're close. Chapter 3, verse number 10. We're supposed to put on the new man. The new man you got saved, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Woo! When you got saved, he made you to be a new creature, made in the image of Almighty God. Woo! It's beautiful. Now, one more thing I want to read. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 2. We've talked about the spiritual reality. We sinned and became spiritually dead. We look secondly at a spiritual revolution. When we called on God, he saved our souls and he made us to be alive. Amen. Thirdly, what's the spiritual result of us getting saved? Well, a couple things. God has done an operation on you. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Preacher, what does that mean? The Word of God, the Spirit of God has cut away. Remember, we said it was a divider of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. God has divided your old fleshly body, which is not righteous, which is wicked and sinful. God's made a place, praise God, for your soul and your spirit to be saved. That when we leave here, amen, thank God, our old body may die, but our soul and spirit's going home to be with Jesus. And one day at the rapture, he's going to even glorify the body and raise it from the grave. Thank God, we'll be reunited with him. What a truth. Well, the Bible says, I won't take time. Hold your place here. We can't leave this place. I've got to read this to you. Listen to this. I want you to turn to the New Testament, Romans, which is the sixth book of the New Testament. Is that right? Yeah. And the sixth chapter and the sixth verse. Preacher, you just said 666. I did. I wonder what that might say. Six is the number of man. Wow, what might that say? Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I was crucified. When Jesus was crucified, my sins were crucified. Myself was crucified. The old man is dead. Amen. And the new man's, you see, he's done an operation on us. Thank God for it. Amen. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, man, we were crucified with him on the cross. What an operation. He did more for us. Go back now. We're in Colossians again. He said he's done an operation on us. He put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Look at this next one, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. I have a question. I need an answer. You're going to participate. Do you see any water in that verse? Is there any water in Colossians 2:12? Now we talk about us, we're Baptists, right? We love baptism, immersion, put them all the way under, dunk them, but good. But there's no water in that verse. We were buried with him in baptism. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, we were crucified with him on the cross. We were buried with him in baptism and were risen with him through faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. We've been baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not dead, but is very much alive. Your spirit is alive because Jesus is alive. Woo! Just as much as Jesus was dead and is alive, there was a time in your life, I need amen here, you were dead in trespassing and sin, but the Lord of God, roll the stone away and see, you're alive. He's made you and I to be alive. Woo! Thank God for it.
So I'm talking about this is an orientation. We have an operation and an orientation. Read verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. What's that word mean? Made you alive. Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We're in the body of Christ. As much as Christ is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father, you and I are alive. As much as Jesus will live forever, if you're saved, you'll live forever. Don't you let no devil in hell, don't you let the world, don't you let doubt and fear tell you anything different. If Jesus is alive, and he is, you'll live too. I promise you. I got one more little thought here and I'm done. We've seen his operation. We've seen his orientation. I want us to look at his orchestration. It's back in Ephesians. Go back to the left. Two books in your Bible. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to quit right here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, that after you heard the word of truth, that's the Spirit that quickeneth, the word of God, which causes us to be alive. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel, what's that? The good news that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and rose again. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's a done deal. It's set up. You've been sealed, sealed, sealed. Listen, and nobody but him can break the seal. And he won't break the seal till the day of redemption, when we get there with him. Look at chapter 4. This chapter 4, verse 30. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The spirit of man that was dead in trespass and sin has been redeemed. And the soul will one day be reunited with that old body, glorified, and will live forever. What is man? He's a spirit that was dead, that Jesus has made to live. And one day will be glorified to live with him forevermore. Say amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you for the precious truths of the Word of God. Things too wonderful for us to even think about. And yet, God, you teach them and declare them. And these promises that are evident are true. Thank you, God, for all you do for us and for what you're yet going to do. We give you glory and honor and praise. And Lord, would you take this study of what is man? And Lord, would you open to us your word and teach it to us? Lord, I'll confess to you, I spend too much time worrying about the body when I ought to be spending the ultimate amount of time on the spirit, developing and maturing and growing in my walk with you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to study together. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.